Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of Grand Grand and Baba, Doc Jones and Mama Yaw, Lucky, Stormy, Annette, Antoine, and Geraldine, Doc Sobol, Sister Parsi, and Brother DeBril send forth the energy to make us feel our work is not in vain.
I say again, yes, indeed, I say it is done. We send you all the African energy we can muster up. Thank you for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper by way of MasterGriot.com. We always send a shout-out to Sister Jackie for allowing us the opportunity as well as the responsibility to teach and learn from the people at the same time. Big bro, how are you?
Man, I am that I am, man.
Wonderful, wonderful. As we always say, trying to overthrow white supremacy here in the hills of North America. Big bruh, unfortunately, we have another good topic for the people on this evening.
Yeah, man, we got a doozy.
Yes, indeed. As usual, you know, we always like to say liquid takes on the form of its container. And in order for a people to be free, you have to completely separate the slave from the slave master. And being over here in the hills of North America, we have begun to take on the characteristics of our captors to where we are imitating imitators, as John Henry Clark used to so eloquently put it. You know, you see white folk going to get tans, trying to look like us, white women going to get shots in the butt and in the lips, trying to get what our sisters have by nature. You see us by, we're a communal people by nature. But now you see us move out to the suburbs, and we walk right past our brothers and sisters who are also in the suburbs with us, and we won't even speak to each other. You know that's not us by nature.
You sure right?
Even more seriously, big bruh, you know, when you and I were growing up, maybe we had one little funny boy at the school. But now it's an epidemic of homosexuality in the black community. And anytime anyone says anything against it, we're accused of being homophobic. Just like when black people say that Jews exploit us in our hood, we're accused of being anti-Semitic.
Well,
I say that all of this behavior is anti-Kemetic.
That's right. That's right.
Right. So, you know, we have to deal with it as a reality, so the rest of the world has to deal with it as our reality as we try to get over this thing. So we will be dealing tonight with homosexuality in the black neighborhood and how that behavior is anti-African. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, sir. Well, brother, like you said, man, you you hit the nail right on the head, brother. It seems that, you know, before you can do anything, man, in order to be cured of any illness or whatever, you first have to go back to the source of that illness. And if you don't treat the source of that illness, you can never be cured. So, you know, the brothers and sisters that go to the AA meetings, the first thing that they have to say is stand up and say that, that they have to state their name and that they are alcoholics.
That's right.
To for them to grasp the fact that you are a recovering alcoholic for the rest of your life, you know what I'm saying? So, brother, now that we know that these things are ailing and plaguing the black community, and we really have to deal with those as such.
That's right, and we're going to have to, you know, really discuss these things and get to the root of the problem so we can get the problem out of us. You know,
mm-hmm.
I say us as a collective because we're in this thing together, you know, trying to overthrow white supremacy as a collective. You know,
exactly.
So, you know, things that we have to work on, and you know, let us go on and clear the air. This is not a so-called gay bashing show. You know,
no, never that.
Not at one time, you know, would you hear us say that all gay people should die or anything like that? But at the same time, we're not going to sit back and condone your unnatural behavior. You know, because
exactly, brother. There's no male and female connections, and there could be no life created, brother. And if there's no life created, then there is imminent death for the black community.
Exactly, exactly. And we all know, you know, listening to Dr. Joe Leary, that you know, white people are afraid of genetic annihilation. And what's a better way to save yourself from genetic annihilation if your enemy is not reproducing?
Exactly.
You know, it's,
and we know that that's part of the a wing of the eugenics plan. Same thing that Margaret Sanger is doing with Planned Parenthood. You know, depopulation control, brother. That's what it is.
Exactly. And I mean, it's being pushed on us. You know, you know, growing up in Memphis, we used to love watching Channel 5 wrestling. You know,
mm-hmm.
So when many of us got grown, you know, we still like to watch wrestling, you know, as an entertainment sport, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching wrestling some years ago, maybe when I was maybe 18 or 19, and two men, you know, they had it set up to where two men were going to get married on wrestling, you know, and this is a very masculine sport, so to say, you know, if you
mm-hmm.
call it sport, you know, I mean, this is hand-to-hand body combat, you know, and here
mm-hmm.
they have a homosexual undertone or overtone, whatever you want to call it, you know, on wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, next thing you know, they have gay football games, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's crazy stuff, and we have to nip this stuff in the bud. We have to, you know, talk about this and get this thing, you know, get this behavior out of us, you know what I'm saying?
Well, like you said, brother, it's anti-Semitic, brother.
Exactly. It sure is.
It's anti-Semitic. I mean, you know, and you know, people will argue the fact of this or that, you know, but like I said, brother, there's no document in history that can be brought forth to prove that homosexuality was a African thing.
Yes.
But when you do the research into Greco-Roman history, you find that homosexuality was the thing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, brother, I mean, we have to call a spade and jack a jack, brother.
That's right, and we have a brother coming on the show tonight who's going to do exactly that. This brother is the author of the book, War on the Horizon. And this brother actually breaks down, like you just said, you know, where this behavior comes from. This is brother by the name of Irritated Genie. He's with Positive Comedic Visions. And this is a very powerful brother, very positive brother, and these brothers are putting in some good work there in their community. So we're going to get to a musical interlude very quickly, and then we're going to be right back with you, family. We'll be right back with the Irritated Genie. So y'all kick it with us. We'll holler right back up.
Wait.
No cave, they hold me in the Negro plan. HIV and vaccination for the African. Government experiments, millions have died. It's not an accident, y'all. It's called genocide. It's a 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 genocide. It's not an accident, y'all. It's called genocide.
Like we waiting to die, waiting to fry. Sitting in the frying pan with a bullseye on our chest. I wonder why. Niggas hate the truth, but we in love with the lie. Praying for our enemies while our enemies try to take us out. Now you might think this propaganda, but take a real look at what happened in Louisiana. The hurricane, one of the things that was really scary, cause New Orleans was cool until they blew up the levees. Now you might not believe that, you might can't conceive that, but it's a pattern, y'all. Take a look and you can see that. And they
enslaved the Africans, they killed off the natives, divided, conquered us. See, this is how they played us. They born Black Wall Street, born Philadelphia, lock niggas up while the CIA run cracked it up. Hood, it ain't good, cause your government is jacking ya. Police steady smacking ya, we headed for a massacre. Understand the past, you understand the present. The power at B don't really care about the peasants, the poor, the black, the common, the people. Make no mistakes about it, you're dealing with evil.
Projects don't take the only in the Negro plan. HIV and vaccination for the African. Government experiments, millions have died. It's not an accident, y'all. It's called genocide. It's a 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 genocide. It's not an accident, y'all. It's called genocide. Organized devastation. World Health Organization. Mass inoculation. Spreading AIDS through African nations. Smallpox vaccination. Government sponsored depopulation. Targeted African Haitians and Jamaicans. See, it's amazing. They planned it for our elimination. We be shaking our laffy taffy, but don't be mistaken. See, while we out partying, they out there taking the necessary step to have us frying just like bacon. Lock us in the oven and there'll be no escaping. You're surprised when they known for the murder, robbing, and raping. But while we taking our sweet time, I guess we wait on the revolution. But I wonder, will the sleeping giant awake? Project Monkey, they only in the Negro plan. HIV and vaccination for the African. Government experiments, millions have died. It's not an accident, y'all. It's called genocide. It's a 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 genocide. It's not an accident, y'all. It's called genocide.
Yes, indeed. It's not an accident, y'all. It's called genocide. That's what
that's
it
right.
is. That's what it is. And that sets the tone for the show. You know, like
yes,
you just
sir.
Said, you know, it goes right along with the eugenics plan. And without any further ado, we have the author of War on the Horizon, young brother with positive comedic visions, very good brother, very strong brother, very educated brother. Brother Irritated Genie, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How y'all brothers doing down there?
Wonderful, sir.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Hey, man, we just up here putting in the work like y'all brothers doing down there. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. We got
to
get
right.
down
we got to fight on all fronts.
All fronts. Right.
All fronts, brother. 360-degree warfare on every side.
That's right.
That's right.
There is a very, very strategic plan that our enemy has hit us with. And introduce yourself to the family there, brother.
Okay, I'm the Irritated Genie of Southeast, so Positive Comedic Visions. Positive Comedic Visions is a proactive, community-based, African-centered organization committed to the absolute self-determination and empowerment of black people throughout the world. We're locally based here in Washington, D.C., and one of the things that we do is we do lectures in many different areas of racism and white supremacy, from understanding and identifying racism and white supremacy to the feminization of the black male, to predators in our midst dealing with child molestation in our community, to Negroes gone wild, the problem of black treason, and inappropriate black leadership. We call it pleadership because they're always begging whites for a handout. They're not really representing black people. So we try to educate our people to what's going on so that our people can make better decisions. And if I could, I'd just like to say I want to, you know, make this announcement to brothers and sisters. I think people will be happy to know. I know y'all brothers know what I'm talking about. Black people, we're acting in an indecent manner now.
That's right.
Just about everything from the way our children are acting to the way so-called parents are acting to the way our women are dressing to the way brothers are not wanting to work and not wanting to provide for families. And so we say it's time for a black decency movement. We're going to be launching on June 14, 2008, Kush the Black Unifier, who's the esteemed leader and prime minister of Positive Comedic Visions. He's going to be doing a lecture that's also the jump-off of a new movement. It's the Black Decency Movement. Basically, what we're saying is we're going to reestablish rules of behavior for black people around the world, things that are acceptable to us and things that aren't acceptable to us, and push this as an agenda so that our people can start having a better quality of life and so that we can have be more successful in fighting racism and white supremacy.
That is beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful, and it's mandatory. And whatever
and it's
we can
time,
do,
brother.
That's right. That's right. Whatever
right.
we can do to help you all, help you all do that, it's a done deal on this end.
Hey, we appreciate it, man. I tell you what I really appreciate too. For a lot of brothers and sisters out there on the other side of my voice, you know what I'm talking about. When you're out here seeing what's going on and trying to do as much as you possibly can to change the condition of our people, sometimes you feel a little lonely, man. Because
yes,
not
sir.
A whole lot of people out here doing this. Y'all brothers know what I'm talking about. And it's good to run into other brothers and sisters out here on the warpath doing hard work. We got down in Louisiana, we got Lafayette, we got Sister Khadijah and Sister Jamila. They're doing hard, good work down there, and running to y'all brothers, brothers Keeper, and the other brothers and sisters around the country. We haven't got the chance yet for us to link up and, you know, pool our resources to start making this happen. So this is a good opportunity.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Good opportunity for us as well. You know, just glad to be in your presence. And you were speaking of the lectures that you all do there at Positive Comedic Visions.
Yes,
and we got a hold of one of your DVDs off of your website, The Effeminization of the Black Male. And I heard you speak that earlier.
Buddy.
Yes, indeed. And Big Brother Kelly, he likes to say, you know, the easiest way to cook a frog is to put it in lukewarm water and slowly turn the temperature up on them. And then next thing you know, the frog wakes up dead, you know, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, if you will, Brother Irritated Genie, explain to us how liquid has taken on the form of this container in a very, very slow fashion concerning this thing with Africans and this homosexuality thing.
All right, brothers, if I could take a moment, because first thing I want to say, I want black people out there to understand one thing. It's very important. This is not about hatred of black people. It's about love of black people.
That's right.
When we start having this conversation, what happens is that so many brothers and sisters have homosexuals in their family, or they may be involved in this type of misbehavior. They feel it's an assault on them. The reality of it is that not one African in the history of the world ever asked to be involved in this behavior. This came from a slave plantation, so if we're going to save our people, we got to save our people from this behavior. And the only way to do it is to put it out on the surface and say it's not acceptable, and then do what we need to do to get rid of it. So in order to get rid of it, we got to understand, how do we even get it? How did black men decide that the object of his sexual affection was going to be another male? How did a black woman look at another female and say, that's the object of my affection? That is not African. You go back to ancient Kemet, you see Queen T and Amenhotep III, 40-foot colossal, still there, 4,000 years old, staring you in the face saying the black man and the black woman are complementary partners in the journey of life. That's how we've always been as people.
Right.
I mean, brothers, y'all know what I'm saying, but ain't nothing in the world better than a black woman.
Yeah, man, you sure tell in the mouthful there, bro.
Hey, that's a lot. That matter of fact.
And then the black woman, he kept it for himself.
Dr. Ben said, ain't nothing better than a black woman but two black women. I ain't going to touch that one. All I'm saying is we know that the design for our people, being the first people on the planet, is that a consenting man and a consenting woman, that's the only acceptable place for this thing that we call sex.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
exactly.
when Europeans and Arabs, white Arabs, same difference almost,
yeah,
invaded Africa, they brought with them their behavior. If we talk about what the European lifestyle, if you want to call it a lifestyle, was in the caves and hills of Europe prior to their interaction with black people, we're talking about a race of individuals who were caught up in the cold caves and hills of Europe, who didn't have fire. They couldn't cook their meat. Their lives were consumed with sex and aggression. The only thing that brought them joy was a kill, because in Europe, the only way they could eat was to kill something, and killing meant blood. And so they would go out and kill a wild Mongolian tur. It was like a deer, or the Caucasus Mountain deer, and they would eat it raw. They would take it back to their families, but sometimes they would go 2 and 3 weeks, maybe a month sometimes, without eating. So the European male was full of a great deal of aggression and hatred, because his whole life was consumed with killing something, trying to survive, but also dodging other European groups that may have been bigger than his family, who would kill him and even eat him and as a source for food. So cannibalism was part of the basic culture of Europe. At some point, the European male began to look at the female and develop a serious disdain for her, because one thing he realized with her life being so difficult in the caves and hills of Europe is that she gave him this thing called sex that made him feel good, one of the few things he got that felt good. But the problem was, after about 9 months after he did that, she produced another mouth that he couldn't feed. So he became very disdainful towards the female, because he felt like she was a real evil individual, because she played this trick on him. She'd give him this thing that felt good, but then what it produced out of that was another mouth he couldn't feed. He became enraged with her. He began to hate her. He began to look for ways to get that same sexual gratification without going to the white female. So he began to experiment with animals. That's where we get bestiality. It was a normal part of the process. When you said the most ancient artifacts that we find in Europe, the most ancient history of Europe, documented history, is the walls and the caves and hills of Europe from thousands of years where they were drawing themselves having sex with animals. This is right in Europe today.
That's documented.
is documented. This is their history as they tell it. Now, after they tried animals, they also tried other males. And what they realized, they could plant their seed in other males unless they wanted. It wouldn't produce another mouth they couldn't feed. They did it with little girls before they hit puberty. And so the European female, what she became was the sexual toilet of Europe. And this is where a lot of different sexual practices came from, because the white female had to figure out, how do I please him sexually without producing another mouth that he can feed? So she developed all different types of forms of sexual pleasure to please the white male. But the problem she ran into is that he began, for whatever reason, to find the greatest sense of sexual arousal with a little boy. For whatever reason this is just more so than even a grown male, adult male. His favorite and most, if you want to call, I don't know if we can use the word spiritual, but his most esteemed love affair, his sexual, to be in love in Europe, was a grown male and a little boy. Now, this is something that anyone out there that can look up. Look up Zeus and Ganymede. You got your internet, you go up and look up Zeus and Ganymede. Ganymede, G-A-N-Y-M-E-D-E. Zeus was the supreme god of Europe. I'm sorry?
Spell that Ganymede again.
Okay, G-A-N-Y-M-E-D-E.
Okay.
All right. Zeus and Ganymede, that's the ancient love affair of Europe. And basically, Zeus was the supreme god of all the Europeans in ancient Greece. He was their supreme god. Now, this is their god. And the ancient love story of Greece was that Zeus descended as an eagle onto earth, kidnapped the most quote-unquote beautiful little boy on the planet Earth named Ganymede, took him back to Mount Olympus, sodomized him, and made him his lover. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying here now. I know this is a lot, but their god was a kidnapper. How much time do you give a kidnapper? That's a felony, right?
Exactly. Sure.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, sodomy of a young child under the age of 15? You're talking about
another felony.
This was their god, though. And this was, I want people to understand what I'm saying. In ancient Europe, they did not have a concept of a man being in love with a woman. In fact, Plato said homosexuality or pederasty, which is a grown man and a little boy, that's what he was talking about, pederasty. Sex between a grown man and a little boy, that alone is capable of satisfying a man's highest and noblest aspirations.
Yes, right.
And the love between man and woman, when spoken of at all, is altogether inferior, a purely physical impulse whose sole object is the procreation of life. Basically, what he was saying is that the only reason that white female exists is so that she can produce babies. But his idea of being in love in Africa, it was man and woman. We didn't have another concept of being in love. In Europe, the only concept they had of being in love was a man with a little boy, which means they didn't have one statue of a man and woman being in love. They didn't have all the statues. Like, even when you look at Greek statues today, they're grown men and little boys. If you notice, even when you go downtown in the major cities in front of the cathedrals, or in front of the courthouses, is all these grown males and little boys in these naked poses.
Or a grown man with an animal.
Or a grown man with an animal in a naked pose. This is European culture. Now, why is this important to us? We have to understand something. Europeans have only had about maybe a little over 4,000 years or so of access to the idea of a man being in love with a woman. Meaning when the Greeks came into Africa and invaded, they were appalled when they saw the gods and the goddesses. Because in Africa, everywhere they went, it was this love affair between man and woman. They were so appalled, they used to blow the noses. They used to completely destroy the female statues. And any of them that were connected with men in loving positions and holding hands, they would blow those things apart. Because in their mind, it would be similar to the way we think. When you and I go somewhere as black people, we walk into a room and see a grown man trying to have sex with a little boy, we become enraged. So enraged, you might go pop him in the head and try to get the little boy to safety.
Yeah.
It's an appalling idea in our mind. When the European came into Africa and he saw men being in love with women, he was like, what on God's green earth is going on? This is crazy. But after having looked at our great civilizations and having the desire to emulate what we had produced, they realized, wow, in order to produce great longevity and empire, in great civilizations, men are supposed to be with women. So on the surface, they start changing their statues. They have men in love with women, and so we start seeing that. But their cultural practice of preferring sexual desire of young boys never changed. I can show you right here in modern day, because we're talking history, but let's look in the modern day. The Catholic priest, is the Catholic Church, the first Christian church in this country, or in the world, in the white Christian church. That's where it started, the Roman Catholic Church. The highest level that you can reach is the priest or the pope. What is it that he can't do? He cannot have sexual contact with a woman. But what are they known for? We all know, and I'm not insulting.
Sexual contact with a little boy.
But there it is. All right. So there it is. We all know that. We're not insulting nobody. That's the reality of it. Why is it that that's the culture? Now,
most of the time they go unpunished for what they do to these little boys.
That's, most of the time don't even get mentioned. And when it, like you said, when it does get mentioned, they don't even do anything about it because it's their culture.
No.
I mean, think about it. How can you have a religion that says to reach the highest point, not that you can have many wives, not that I'm advocating that, but I'm saying they saying to you, you can't even be with a woman if you want to be spiritual. That's heavy right there.
Yeah.
Let's look at their runway models. When you look at the runway model, we would describe her. Tell me if I'm being fair, brothers, because I don't want to be unfair. I want y'all brothers to check me if I need to be checked.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the average runway model is between 90 pounds and 110 pounds. Straight up and down, maybe 6 o'clock, nothing in the front, nothing in the back. Short hair, remind you of a 14-year-old little boy.
And that is correct.
Yes, absolutely correct.
Brothers, because we've been consumed by white supremacy, we'll act like that's our, we pretend like that's our, what we like to see. But now let that 160-pound sister, got a long dress on, got a little head wrap, walk down the street with her locks or, you know, her natural hairstyle, walk down, and all of us, we could be in the middle of an argument, ready to fight each other. She'll stop us right in our tracks. We go, there she go.
That's right.
You sure?
Correct. Hey, you know when you know how it is, one brother sees a sister and everybody talk, he just gets quiet, and then you say, why am I getting quiet? So you turn over to him, and then before you know it, the whole group just looking at it, wow, ain't that something?
That's right. Sisters are no stopping traffic, you know, and like you said, you know, it's normal, you know, when we're in our normal, natural African state, we know to reverence our women. You know, this whole misogyny thing, that's European, and like you said, white Arab stuff. That's not us by nature. You know, even this homosexuality thing, that's white folk. You know what I'm saying?
White,
so they don't have their thing. That's they. And what's so funny about this is, I'm the kind of, makeup. You can bear witness to this. I don't like watching any and every kind of movie. You know what I'm saying? But I accidentally ran. Y'all remember that movie 300 that came out?
Yes, sir.
That big lie that came out.
Of that movie. Yeah, the lie that came out. Yeah, well, another lie. You know, but someone did food for that movie. And the name of the movie was something about Spartans. And
The Spartans.
The Spartans, okay. Now, y'all remember in the movie 300, when the African man, when he came and he told them, you know, such and such wants your land, and, you know, he will gladly, you know, be cordial with you if you surrender your land to him and all that. But in the movie, you know, when they were making fun of the movie, the black man came to the white dude and he was, you know, telling him the same thing, you know, my leader wants your land and all this good type of stuff. But the interesting thing was that the two Greek men came up and they shook hands and they pulled each other close and started kissing in the mouth. And the black man looked at them like, man, what are y'all doing? And then when the Greek man's wife came up, the so-called queen, he slapped her high five. And the black man was sitting there looking at them like, man, you got this backwards. You're supposed to kiss your wife and you slap five with the other male. And the Greek dude was like, no, Greek men, we kiss. And we don't love our women. We just slap five with them. I mean, so they will tell you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they know that this is their stuff.
Yes.
They know.
Yeah, they know.
And their thing now is, this is the thing, this is the ugly thing about white supremacy and white culture and white aggression. They're never satisfied with being who they are. They always have to impose their way on others.
That's right.
So when they came and dragged us and put us on those slave ships and dragged us over here to America, it wasn't good enough to have us enslaved. Now they have to gang rape our women.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have to sodomize our sons and our fathers.
Yeah.
I mean, black men chained up on ships. It's not good enough to use him as a slave, but now you want to use him sexually because he's chained up and he can't defend himself.
Yeah.
And so they exposed us and forced us. I mean, you know, they used to have breeding farms. In 1808, because of the Haitian Revolution, they declared the Haitian Revolution their freedom in 1804 under the leadership of John Jacques Dessalines. The U.S. government was so frightened, and really the whole European world was so frightened at the notion of Haiti spreading, what happened in Haiti spreading into the United States and various other regions, that they said no more importation of African slaves. By 1808, it was banned and illegal in America. So they took a process that they were already doing since they brought us here, but then they really started doing it on a massive level. They started saying, well, since we can't bring in Africans from Africa and kidnap them and bring them here legally, what we'll do is we'll start, quote-unquote, breeding them. They actually had places that they called breeding farms throughout this country. Southern Maryland had a lot of them. And basically,
yeah, we had a few of them here in Memphis, Tennessee, too. Absolutely. Memphis Forest had some here. And Wade Bolton had some here also.
Mm. And they would actually, I'm sure y'all probably all talk about this, but in a nutshell, they would, not only would they force black men to rape young girls that have just hit puberty to impregnate them, but if he did it long enough, many times he would be raping his daughter on smaller plantations. He would have to have sex with his mother, his sister, his cousin, his daughter, his granddaughter. They forced us into incest. This was not something that we brought with us into this country. This was not our way,
exactly.
And it still isn't our way. And so
exactly.
This is something that we have to understand that these behaviors that we see now, these behaviors that we see our people getting into, are not anything that are natural for our people. But it's something that we've been forced into and that we've been carrying on as a legacy of a people who have been enslaved. And so we have fathers and great-great-grandfathers who have been raped on slave plantations. When our freedom and independence was granted to us, many of our people were still sick. And so they began to, you know, have children and marry and then rape their sons, rape their daughters. And we've quietly had a buildup of European cultural madness, sexual madness, and insanity in our communities that's been going on for hundreds of years now that we haven't adequately stepped to and said, okay, this is a problem, something we picked up from slavery, let's eliminate this behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Europeans are in a complete, all-out genocidal war against black people to prevent us from continuing to reproduce, to bring us to zero population growth, and then to wipe out the population that does exist, now the efforts are full force. It's not just physically killing us. It's not just giving us diseases to kill us. It's not just putting guns in each other's hands to murder us. But now they're trying to disgender us, meaning to completely take away the notion of what a black man is supposed to be, what a black woman is supposed to be, what sex is supposed to be confined to make us a sexual race of insane monsters who go around sexually brutalizing one another. And then looking at it and not even trying to get back to the people who we are.
Exactly. Trying to.
Brother, I'm so glad you said that, brother, because you really put something on my mind when you said that, bro. Man, you just really gave insight to why it is that we have the R. Kellys in our communities now, you know. And when I say R. Kellys, the people that get away with doing things to our little girls and boys at young ages. Molestation is something that's so prevalent in our communities right now that out of five women, three of them have been molested as little girls or raped as little girls.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's
and
right.
See, that goes to a whole nother notion of destroying black families because so many of our sisters are messed up and so many of our young men right now are messed up to the point that they really, I want to say it, but I got to say it like I feel it. It's like they're so messed up now that there will be no, they ain't no good for nobody.
I'm going to say this, brother. And I'm glad you said that. This is something that we have to establish in this conversation because it's very important for people to understand. And this is why I said when we first started, I said no African, no black person in the history of the world has ever asked to be a homosexual. I want to clear up this notion. Yeah, I want to clear up this notion that black people can be born gay. There's no such thing as being born gay. Let me establish, first of all, what we're talking about when we talk about homosexuality or gayness. We're talking about white cultural behavior where an individual of one sex intentionally seeks out an individual of the same sex for sexual gratification. Now, here for once and for all, we can kill the entire discussion about a person, a black child being born gay. How can we prove that a child can't be born gay? A child cannot even speak, much less decide that they want to have sex with somebody of the same sex. Children, a baby is not sexualized. A baby does not even know that it's a boy or girl. So the idea, because when you say someone is gay, that doesn't mean that, it means specifically this, that they made a decision that they want to have a sexual encounter with somebody of the same sex. Children don't know what sex is. So we can wipe that whole entire notion out. We're not talking about can a boy be feminine or a female, can she be masculine. They're not sexualized yet. So that goes out of the window. What we're talking about is social behavior. That's what this stuff is. Now, this is how homosexuality happens in our community. Let's start with what we do know and what we can see, and then we can talk about the things that we don't like to talk about and that we don't see. What we do know is that we all have boys, friends, that we grew up with, brothers, who were completely heterosexuals when they was in the street. They went to prison, and when they came out, now they switching. What happened to them when they went to prison?
Exactly. The sex was
assault.
They were raped.
That's right.
They raped, sodomized, abused, used their sexual toilets, become sexually insane, and that leads to quote-unquote homosexuality. Now, what we don't see is when we see the little brother who's never been to jail, he's 10 years old and he's acting funny, and we say, oh, he's going to be a homosexual. What we don't see is that the same thing that happened to the 15-year-old brother who was locked up happened to that 10-year-old boy. He didn't have to be in jail, though. It happened in his home or it happened in his community. Somebody has sexually ravaged him and is creating the same sexual confusion in his mind and creating the same result, homosexuality.
Exactly.
But then, instead of trying to save our youth and save our people and say, hey, young man, you're not a homosexual. What you are is you're sick and you're in pain because this happened to you. Let's talk about what happened to you. Let's work through it. Instead of trying to save our people, whites have convinced us, and those who are sick in our community involved in this madness, have convinced us that the behavior is okay. Well, here's the problem. Is it okay that the young girl who was sexually ravaged at the age of 5, who doesn't want to be around men sexually, so she turns to females, if it's okay for her to be with females, though, because that's natural and normal, then we never get to say what happened to you. And she never gets to tell us that Uncle Bill molested me when I was 5, and now I have a hard time relating to men. Because when we find out that Uncle Bill molests our daughters, we have to say we love Uncle Bill, but we can't have Uncle Bill around no more. Uncle Bill can't walk amongst us. Uncle Bill can't live amongst us because nobody can put their hands on our children and breathe on this planet. So we say we got major problems, but we got to fix the problems. Only way we can fix the problem is getting to the source of the problem with people putting their hands on our children. But if you accept the behavior that comes out of it, you never get to deal with the source of the problem.
That's right, and that goes.
Now, brother, you said you sparking so much stuff in my head right now, bro. I remember one time, man, I was talking to this sister, and she had a best friend who was a gay man. And she used to allow this gay man to watch her son when she would go out or go out of town or whatever. She would allow this man to watch her son. And her son is now gay. And she's blaming herself wasn't around for him enough during his adolescent years. And I had to break down to the sister and tell her that if you knew that your friend was gay, why would you allow that man to watch your child when you went out of town?
Exactly.
It's like you gave your child over to her.
Right.
And she was like, I never thought about that.
And that goes, that attacks the issue about I remember when Tupac accused Dre of being gay, and they asked Pac, why did you attack Dre like that? And he said, well, when I found out, Dre was a punk, these are Pac's words. I don't know if Dre is or not, But Pac was like, well, I had to expose him before, he fooled around and molested somebody's child or something, So that was Pac's reason there for, saying, Dre was, homosexual. And whatever show he happened to be on, the host said, well, just because someone is a homosexual doesn't mean that they're a pedophile. You know what I'm saying? But we, you can't separate the two. We're not saying that all grown homosexuals will molest a child, but most people are homosexual due to being molested, like Brother Jimmy just said.
Exactly.
And it's cycle.
We have
this
to
attack
that.
This is the reality of it. This is the hardest part of the concept. This is the thing. This is what happens. And this is the very danger in dealing with European. This is why we have to begin not only to study our own culture and know ourselves, but we can't just take for granted culture. We got to study Europeans. I'm going to tell you why. This is what the natural black mind does. Because there's nothing in the history of our culture and our peoplehood that explains homosexuality, we look at it and say, well, this person is just a person who, I like women, he likes men. So it's no different except he likes men. This is what we don't understand. That's not how you understand this behavior. It has a history. The history of it is this, that homosexuality and pedophilia, by definition, were the same thing. They were called pederasty, meaning in Europe, it was a grown man with a little boy, which makes him both a homosexual and a pedophile. It is not true that homosexuals don't molest children. The reality of it is this. The behavior is grown men with little boys. Out of that, you have outshoots of that behavior, women with women, men with men. But the source of it is grown men with little boys. Now, we don't have a word in today's context that puts both of them into the same category because really you're dealing with a homosexual and a pedophile. But from its inception, white sex, we call it white sex because it all derives from Europeans, the source of it is men messing with little boys, meaning from the inception, you're talking about a pedophile when you're talking about a homosexual. I'm going to give you a good example of what I'm talking about and why it's so dangerous. Our people think we don't understand it. When we're looking at someone in our community that's participating in this misbehavior, they are insane. Would you take a person out of an insane asylum and then leave your children at home with this person? Of course not.
Not at all.
Because you know that they're insane. But these, our brothers and sisters, our mothers, our cousins, these brothers and sisters who are participating in this behavior, they're insane sexually. They may be sane in other ways, but sexually they're insane. What makes you think that it's safe to leave anybody who they can have influence and power over around a person who is sexually insane? I'll give you a good example right now. I was talking to a brother just yesterday. I mean, I rode in the car with this brother. We went out for lunch. And he took me to his school, and he started telling me he's an administrator. This is real now. I'm not making none of this stuff up. And y'all know it because you hear stories like this every day. He said in his school, he had a situation where there's a male teacher, the only male teacher in this school, and it's an African Center school now. He's a homosexual, right here in Washington, D.C. Only teacher that's a male teacher is a homosexual. How about he found out that the male teacher, he had two little boys in the class that were fighting. We're talking about like 7, 8 years old, little boys. They got in a fight. His punishment for them was that they had to walk around the class with their hand in his back pocket.
What?
Oh, no.
Listen, I'm going to say it again. He's the only male teacher there, and he's a homosexual. The parents had a big problem with that. They're like, why don't we have some men? But it's not just that he's a homosexual. That's not the issue. People who think that, you know, we beating up people. No, the behavior is connected to an insanity. Now, his thing is, I have power over these little boys. So what's the result of letting homosexuals get this power in our community? They do what homosexuals do. They go after weaker prey, people who are not emotionally stable or younger people. So he got the little boys walking around and squeezing his behind with their hands in his pocket. So the administrator, now check this out, and this is where it really becomes a real quagmire for black men, because our natural instinct says this is not for our people, and our male instinct says we need to nip this in the bud so we can protect our women and our children. Here's the problem, though. When he went as administrator and wrote the homosexual teacher up, for which we have to classify as sexual abuse of these little boys, the administrators, the people running the school, went down on him and said, look, you're making a big deal out of this. You just don't like homosexuals. So what we have in our community, and this is just a microcosm of a bigger problem, black women who have become who are the major victims of sexual abuse and who have become, because of the hip-hop culture, this anti-black female culture, this rape and incest in the community, have become so impained and so insane just with the madness of this society that they have become the protectors of the madness in our community. So if a R. Kelly goes and molests a little girl, and me and you go out there, say, we're going to deal with this dude, we got to get past her going and spending money for his concert. We got to get past her trying to protect him so that he can continue to do the same thing. How many sisters do we talk to?
Patty Hearst syndrome.
That's right. How many sisters do we talk? Look, I talk to sisters all the time that have been sexually abused. The general story is that when they tell their mother goes to the man says, I didn't do it, and she goes and beats the little girl, or she'll say, it was your fault. She'll say, it was your fault. You shouldn't have been dressing like that, and blame the child. Now the child has to deal with the pain for the rest of the life, and this monster continues to do what they do.
Exactly.
Well, brother, let me ask you this here. What about the single mother that's raising the effeminated boys? I mean, in our community, unfortunately, our sisters are forced to try to raise young men on their own. But when you have sisters that don't want the little boys to scuff their knees up, don't want them to be roughed up, doesn't that go to also push that kind of behavior out there?
It fuels the cycle. Right now, and my sisters, I want you to understand, I'm telling you this out of love. This is not me telling you. I'm telling you what you need to hear. Black women are killing black manhood. They're murdering black manhood. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not saying all women. There's some, matter of fact, greatest contributors to black manhood are black women. I don't want to get it confused then. Black women, everything I've done, my mother raised me by herself. And let me tell you something. The reason I'm a black man and I fight for my race until the day I die is because of my mother. I want to make that clear. But at this point in time, the general consensus of this culture is that black women, we call them black widows. Meaning they have, you know, the black widow spider has a child. I mean she sleeps with the male spider. Then after she's finished, she eats them alive. And what we're saying here, black women now are having children, and they have these little boys. And they plait their hair like little girls. They turn them into girls. And a lot of it goes to the pain that black women have suffered over the course of centuries now. But more, not just what whites have done to them. Now, what we have decided, particularly over the last 30 years of this hip-hop, man, this decadent gang, anti-black woman culture, has brought them so much brutalization that subconsciously they begin to hate black male aggression. Black women used to love black male aggression because it's what kept the community safe. But the way black women now, you say 3 out of 5, and that's a good number to use in this climate that we're talking about, are sexually abused. How does she view black male aggression as a problem? So when she has that child, instead of trying to raise him to be strong and be a strong man in her mind equates to an abuser. So she raises him to be weak and soft and effeminized. She prepares him for the homosexual.
Yeah.
She prepares him for the arms of the monster.
Shirts and stuff like that.
That's right. She takes him. Go ahead.
We have a caller on the line.
Yes, sir.
Let's see here. Get this caller on here. Carla, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, how are you?
I'm good. I just have been listening to the show, and I wanted to call in and give all three of you strong brothers a good shout-out. Irritated Jenny, we've been looking at your DVDs for a while, and we appreciate all of the knowledge and the wisdom that you're dropping. And I've been listening to the show, and I just wanted to say that I agree with you as far as I believe that these crackers are the root of all of our problems. A lot of it does go back to the plantation. I recently saw a documentary called Uncle Tom's. Is it Uncle Tom's? No, it wasn't. What was it?
Goodbye,
Uncle Tom. Right.
Goodbye, Uncle Tom.
And there, you know, I think that shows a lot of the problems that we have, from homosexuality to where there were places where these white folks could come and pick what boy or girl, young child they wanted to rape, to the breeding farm.
That's
breeding
right.
Farm where the young slave girls were brought to be raped by other males, and that was their sole purpose, was in breeding. So they were used to making children and not having any sort of emotional or any sort of tie to them, which that's what's going on today. We have brothers that are going around planting seeds and not having an emotional tie or feeling even a need to take care of their child.
That's right.
In terms of what you were saying, too, in terms of the mothers and the parents not being supportive of their children when they are abused, I'm 29, and when I was 9 and when I was 15, I was raped. I was sexually assaulted, sexually abused, and the reason why my parents didn't believe me is because my hymen wasn't broken. You don't have to, your hymen doesn't have to be broken in order to prove that sexual abuse has occurred. So we need for our parents to step up and take responsibility for these children and protect these children. They're being exposed to this hip-hop culture to where you have Lil Wayne kissing grown men in the mouth. Even his song now called Lollipop begins with "He's so sweet." I don't even know what he's talking about. Who is so he is so sweet? And I had my children. I said, "Listen to what he's saying. It's very important. It's all out war against our race. And then you have
That's
these
right.
white folks who are adopting our black children at an alarming rate. My sister in Fort Worth just called me. She has a white coworker who is about to adopt a black child because black children are cheaper to adopt than white children are. Any child of color costs at least $10,000 to $15,000 less to adopt the legal procedure than a white child. So, I mean, it's an all-out war against us. They want to annihilate us. And I just wanted to share that with y'all.
Oh, well, thank you for calling in there, sister.
I want to appreciate that spirit that you called with. Okay.
I was going to tell you one more thing. You know when you were talking about Zeus? And Ganymede. I first heard about that, and I did some research. And you know how the Romans have their version of those same Greek gods?
Jupiter. Mm-hmm.
And Zeus, the Roman version of Zeus is Jupiter, which the planet is named after. Okay, y'all following me?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So Jupiter is the Roman form for Greece. Jupiter is also our planet. Jupiter has four moons. The three smallest moons are Io, I think, Europa, Callisto, and those were Zeus's mistresses. Hera, who was his quote-unquote wife, didn't even have a moon named after her, but the three smallest moons are his mistresses. Now, the biggest moon, the largest moon, guess what that moon is called?
Ganymede.
Ganymede. That's correct. So, I mean, for all of our people out there in internet/radio land, these white folks know more about us and more about themselves than we do. And as you said, we need to study them, and we need to beware, and we need to wake up. Because if we don't, there's no way that we can return to who we were. You know? So that's all I want to say, and I thank y'all so much.
Thank you again,
sister.
So look, don't let anybody ever tell us that black men and women can't get along, because we got our first sister to call and call with a strong spirit.
Yes, indeed.
That's right.
It's very interesting to hear that, you know, coming from a sister like a Yele said. You know, a lot of times the sisters kind of bait these little brothers into it. You know, we have to be very careful how we allow sisters to treat young men. You know, babying them and want to pick them up when they cry and all that good stuff. You know, and you know, and all that plays a part to it. Of course, you know, you don't want to, you know, stop it. You know, a little boy, you know, 3-year-old bump his head and bust his lip or something, you know, and starts to cry. Of course, you're not going to slap him and be like, man up. It's just a little blood. You know, we're not talking about that type of extremist, you know, behavior. I mean, but come on now. You let a, you know, 3-year-old boy whine because he wants, you know, some Kool-Aid or something. You know, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And all this plays into that feminization type deal. You know what I'm saying?
If we look, I'm being quite honest, just today we were driving. I'm being quite honest with you now. And y'all know what I'm talking about. You can't tell a lot of these, and I'm not talking about the babies now. I'm not talking about babies. Sometimes you can't tell the gender of a baby. I'm talking about you have a 10-year-old walking down the sidewalk, and you look at their hair, the way they got plaits in it, you don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
And these are the black mothers who are allowing this to happen, and what our sisters don't understand is that, sisters, this is the reality. You being brutalized. Sister just called and talked about what we're talking about. She was brutalized.
Mm-hmm.
The only person that's going to be able to, because if black women could stop it, it would be stopped, because black women aren't the ones that are doing it.
Yeah.
They're doing it more now, but I'm saying black women aren't the culprit. The black male is the one doing this. The only person that's going to stop the vicious black male from abusing our children is the righteous black male.
That's right.
If you don't raise a righteous black male, then there's nobody to save you from this, and nobody to save your granddaughters and their granddaughters from this.
That's right. That's right. Very
you want strong black men in your community.
Before we run out of time, brother, tell them about your book. You know, of course, our whole conversation is about, you know, is material that's in your book. But we want the brothers and sisters to know who the author of this book is, the title of the book, and where they can get it and all that good stuff. Because from what we understand, y'all are, you know, kind of self-contained. Y'all are pretty much self-contained like we are. All of our CD sales and performances, all the money is going toward our charity programs, feeding the homeless, prison prevention programs, gang redirection programs, et cetera, et cetera. So you all are the same. So we want to muster up as much support as we can for you all. So explain to the listening crowd and for those who will be listening to this in the archives, you know, the title of your book and where you can get it from and all that.
Okay, you can, the title of the book is War on the Horizon, Black Resistance to the White Sex Assault. Again, that's War on the Horizon, Black Resistance to the White Sex Assault. You can go to www.waronthehorizon.com. And then if you go to the on the menu, you go to the book, and then you can order the book right there. It'll take you to Amazon.com, or you can go right to Amazon.com and put War on the Horizon, and you can order it that way. Or you can go to www.irritatedgenie.com. It's the same website, and you can still go to the books. But let me just say for brothers and sisters, on that website, we have what they call white sex commentary. When you go to www.waronthehorizon.com, you go to the white sex commentary section. That's part of the menu you can go to. We have different articles dealing with child sexual abuse and the impact of it. We deal with the militant white sex assault, basically what we want people to understand is we want you to have one place you can go in your free time that's free. It's a free resource to understand the sexual confusion and madness that's going on in our community so you can understand it, know what you can do about it. There's some healing that can be done by understanding what's going on and you know, just helping people understand what we're dealing with as it relates to the sexual matters that we see. We're putting it there on the website. Also, you can if you want to email us, you can email us at pkvfamily@msn.com. If you go to your local bookstore, if it's a black bookstore in your area, they may have War on the Horizon in the bookstore. If not, if they're interested in getting it, they can get it wholesale from African World Books. And that phone number for African World Books is 410-383-2006. They can also reach us, Positive Kinetic Vision, if you want to get a hold of our DVDs. We have ones, Predators in the Midst. Predators in the Midst deals with the problem of child sexual abuse in the black community, how it came about, what's happening in our community, what's happening in our families, and what we can do about it, how we can use things like our churches and our family reunions to be formats to start stopping some of the sexual abuse that's going on in our community, the feminization of the black male series, among many other things that we have. You can contact us at 202-207-7886. Again, that's 202-207-7886. If you email us at pkvfamily@msn.com, you can be on our email list. And that will allow you to not only get our catalog, which has all of our DVDs that are available and the book and CDs, like radio interviews like this, but also you can be on our list to know whenever we're having programs, which are in Washington, D.C. area, or sometimes we go around the country. We send out emails letting PKV family know that, hey, we'll be in this area doing this event at a certain time. You can be on that list to know, you know, where we are and what we're doing at any given time.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And we certainly do thank you for coming on the show with us. And this is a very, you know, of course, 1 hour is not long enough to really come up with any type of formidable solutions for the masses of us. But, I mean, we really do have to do a better job at protecting our children. You know, we can no longer, you know, leave our children with any and everybody. And most of the time when our children get molested, it's a family member or somebody that the child is acquainted with.
That's right.
And you know, our children into sexual deviance, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like Brother Irritated Genius said, they're not born that way. You know, they're forced into a lifestyle of that because they're confused. They've been abused. You know, so we just protect them, and we have to call a jack of spades a spade. We can't be afraid to do the right thing. Homosexuality ain't right.
It's not right for us. It's not right for black people, and it ain't no way to negotiate that.
That's right. No way to get around it.
And if I could, I just want to say this. The DVD called Predators in Our Midst, one of the reasons PKV was started was because we saw the sexual abuse in our community was out of control, and the brother said, we want to stop our women from going through this. It's been years in the making. I think I've done this particular lecture more than any other one because it means the most to me, and I think it means so much to our people. Our people need to know that it's not your fault that you were sexually abused, that you're not crazy, you're a victim of sexual abuse, and our people need to know what they can do. This DVD was designed to be a healing, a beginning of a healing process for people who've been through it, and a one-stop shop that people can go to understand what's happening, to get good ideas of what they can do to make good decisions to help their children avoid sexual abuse. It's the greatest gift that an African can give to their child.
That's right. That's right. That's right. We definitely want to thank you for coming on the show with us. And
time went fast, brothers.
Oh yeah, it does.
Man,
it is. I mean, we're real fast, and you know, as
we need about two or three more hours, bro.
Yeah, we do to discuss this, you know, and maybe you know, I tell you what we'll do is, if it's fine with Brother Irritated Genie, I'm sure it's fine with Big Brother Yele. We'll have you back on the show, and we'll do a 2-hour show.
Hey,
you know,
that'll be great.
Something that's very, very important, you know. Like you said, Yele, anything that stops Africans from reproducing cannot be good for Africans.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? There's just no other way to put that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, white people are, well, I don't classify them as people. White folk are afraid of genetic annihilation, period. So, you know, what is the better way to kill your enemy, you know what I'm saying, than to stop them from reproducing? It goes right along with eugenic society, like you said earlier. You
That's
know,
right.
So we got to come back to this. A man and a man cannot make a child. A woman and a woman cannot
sure.
make a child. You know what I'm saying? There's no way that you can't get around that. You know, and we've seen now to where more, I'm going to just say it like this. When I think I was about maybe 20 or 21, and you know me, I love children. You know what I'm saying? All I have is girls. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, I need a son, you know, but I just wasn't going to go impregnate a sister just for the case of having a son, you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
I was like, well, let me go adopt a young man, you know what I'm saying, bring him up in the revolutionary home, you know, so, you know, we'll have another warrior. I couldn't, you know, I was turned down, you know, I was turned down because I was a single young man. But now what we're seeing is homosexuals being able to adopt children at an alarming rate. Like the sister got on the show and said, you know, white folk are adopting black kids, you know, and I think they're adopting them for purposes of sex slaves.
Well, there's no question about this. I have a study on this that we can talk about next time. Homosexuals are sexually abusing children as adopting parents. The rate of homosexual abuse of the children is far exceed heterosexual abuse of the children when blacks adopt our children as opposed to when homosexuals adopt our children.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're out of time, brothers, and tell you what, we're going to end the show on something from our new CD. It's called the RBG Anthem, the Red, Black, and Green Anthem. Brother Irritated Genie, we want to thank you once again for coming on the
man,
show.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to have you again, man. We're going to have you on again, and Brother Yele, is there any closing remarks you want to give to the family?
Black people, know yourself, love yourself, brother, sister.
That's right. Brother Irritated Genie, any last words you want to give?
Hey, love you, brothers and sisters down there. I want you to keep fighting strong and know that you got other brothers and sisters around the world that we're going to all fight this thing till we get it done right.
Wonderful. Vice versa. Yes, sir. It's just always good to make that cross-country connection because we need it. We need it. Black people, love yourselves as much as we love you and hate those who hate you, meaning your oppressor. You know what I'm saying? So, Black Power family, sleep well. We love you. Brothers Keeper, Real Talk with the Irritated Genie, the author of War on the Horizon. Support that brother and their endeavors. Go get that book. And if you have yet to get Brothers Keeper new CD, log on to cdbaby.com/Brothers Keeper, BROTHASKEEPA, and the number 2. Black Power family, holla at you later. We'll holla black. Peace.
Here's to the flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hope and its future bright, Africa has been. Here's to the red of it, great nation shall know of it. Red blood shall flow of it, historians shall write of it. Great black mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it. Whose destiny depends on it, the red, black, and green of it. Oh, flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young men shall dream of it. Face shall the shells of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, colors, ground, and whole of it. Pleased is my soul with it. Thank God for giving it. Great black mine.
Go ahead, fellas. Let them hear it.
We hear.
We say you are sorry for all that you have done. We bow down in praise for the fight and victory won.
Yeah, yeah.
How are they gonna do that? He don't know that y'all is black.
Well, you know, we can always, you know, I can call people and tell them to call them. My sister can do it fast.
Yeah, I thought, I was thinking
that
Tower would probably call in since he was enjoying the DVD so much.
Yeah, since the time got on, I mean, they're trying to move me, so they don't get hacking and I guarantee you they forgot about it. Not seeing the link out tomorrow. We get more archive business. Yeah.
Marlo, be quiet before you get to ask.
Marlo,
put your clothes on so last and lay right there. What's your hand?
What did you say? What did you say? He said that was an interesting perspective.
Yeah, coming from, because most of the time, you know, I'm just speaking when you talk to most women about gay folks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ain't nothing wrong. You can't help it. You fall in love. You know what I'm saying? It's mostly a justification. Very, very rare.
I guess the exception, because I have never ever thought about harming another child, even though I was harmed that one when I was living that lifestyle. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He never thought about beating me.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm not
talking. Talk to me after you buy your personal bike. I ain't even trying to brag. Good, don't you think?
Oh,
this
one?
It's fire.
You know what? My husband can scratch stuff like this.
Oh, no.
No, please.
Can
no,
put
she
in
can't
in
do
the,
anything.
She can't
because you're about to go to sleep. Go to
sleep. I won't watch the documentary.
I was so mad at Marlo. I was like, why can't you go to sleep? Then I know he was going to wake you up. He was doing his best job. And I know when you wake up, you're going to make Christmas.
Marlo, believe
y'all, I was just sleeping. Well, he can believe what he wants. I remember that one time I got sick that night, and Milo was like, all right, here. Then you woke up, you was like, leave him alone.
What you did,
Jackie? We remember that night I got sick, and we had to go to the next trip, the next day.
What about?
That night, I was laying up in that tent, I didn't feel good. And Marlo was trying to make, because me and Evan were asleep, everybody was asleep, and Marlo woke up was like, all right, children, time to go to bed. And you had woke up was like, leave them alone, if you ain't sleep. And then Marlo went back to sleep. Because I heard you. I just went back to
sleep.
What's wrong with that? Marlo, you can't sleep in here.
I'm trying to wake my kids up, and you know they were premature.
Marlo, you think we're too ugly sleeping here?
Yeah, you sleep wild. And forward, kicking in the back.
That's why I was sleeping on the floor when I was sleeping. That was satisfying.
Yeah, so he's real professional. You saw him
get it out, can you, Mama?
He walked out. You told him 9 o'clock. He called in on the dock.
Oh, yeah. And the bills.
Hey, y'all, why y'all eat me in the show y'all dances? Anthony!
Bro, I know when I was a guy, I didn't think about Harmon's child. So that blanket statement that all homosexuals are pedophiles, I don't know. I don't worry about that, because I know what I was.
Most of the time, honestly, it's dudes who do more molesting than women, as far as I know.
Yeah, ready? Use the tentacles. Okay, we're gonna do. They made up a dance to the song Chain Hang Low. I guess something like that, starting off. Do the pain hang low, do it while we to the floor. Do it shine in the light. If it's platinum is a ghost, then you throw it over your shoulders. Do your chain hang low.
I don't know how to do it.
You do it two times, but
then
there's another one.
They go to TI phone. How come you didn't take your lunch to work? And I told you this morning, don't forget your lunch.
Oh, I forgot it. I meant they got the fridge down putting on the table.
You
meant
that good.
And
then
you froze up.
Okay,
I put it. You gotta get down. Cool. And then the girl that don't Jordy the whole choreo, you're 16. She'll whistle. Okay, at home you down. And I'll go, and I'll lift my hand up like this, and we rise up. And he say, I like my top lit back, 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 lit back. And what's up? Beat down, low, down, low, down, low, down, 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 down. I like my top lit back, lit back, lit back, lit back, lit back, lit back, lit back. I want y'all to listen to this. Were y'all done? Listen, this talks about me. I took a personality test, right? And they did this whole draw-up about me. See, I'm going to read it to y'all. See if y'all think this describes me. Feel free to testify if something sounds really good. This is stuff about me on the job, but I think it could apply to me outside of the job, too. Denise can be sensitive about any comments regarding the quality of her work. She strives forward constantly to improve in everything she does. Safety and security are important to her. Denise prefers to work in an environment that is both economically and physically sound. She wants to be liked by fellow workers as well as be recognized for doing quality work. Co-workers know that her projects will always be done correctly. She possesses the unique ability to be in charge, give results through people, and complete the task with high quality standards. Denise is alert and sensitive to her errors and mistakes. She constantly seeks to avoid errors in her work. She can overanalyze a problem, which tends to slow down the decision-making process. What? She is adaptable. She tends to be her own worst critic, constantly reminding herself that she could have done better if given more time. Denise likes to work behind the scene and be seen as someone who is organized and has her life in order. She wants the safety features on her equipment to be in good working order. Denise uses data and facts to support the big decisions because it makes her feel more confident that her decisions are correct. She tends to base decisions on the quality of work, not on efficiency. She is the type of person who will accept challenges and accept them seriously. She is skilled at observing and collecting data on different subjects. If she has a real passion for a given subject, she will read and listen to all the available information on the subject. Denise follows company policy if aware of it. I don't think that's right, because I'd be feeling like mud of it, but anyway. She gets frustrated when well-established rules are not observed by others. She prefers to have everyone adhere
People first, have everyone adhere to the same rules and regulations. She feels tension when forced to make major decisions quickly. She likes to collect data for decision making and may collect so much it makes the decision harder. Denise does not like to work for a manager who uses a confrontational management style. She tends to withdraw and not express herself and may become unproductive if she feels threatened. Whenever possible, Denise avoids face-to-face conflict. She is usually soft-spoken, but her demeanor may be deceptive to those who work with her. She may possess strong and unwavering convictions that are not always apparent to others. I think that's speaking to my inner revolutionary, and they don't know who I really am.
What is that, Sam?
She is, her demeanor may be deceptive to those who work with her. She may possess strong and unwavering convictions that are not always apparent to others. She likes to know what is expected of her in a working relationship and have the duties and responsibilities of others who will be involved explained. Basically introverted, meaning I keep to myself, she will engage in social conversation when the occasion warrants. She does not seek confrontation, but if she is confronted, she will present her case with enough supportive data that she will probably win. She is patient and persistent in her approach to achieving goals. She responds to challenges in a cooperative manner and wants the team to win without the need of a perceived shining star. She enjoys analyzing the motives of others. This allows her to develop her intuitive skills. It says, conscientious and steady, flexible, defines, clarifies, gets information, criticizes and tests, comprehensive and problem-solving, turns confrontation into positives, cooperative member of the team, accurate and intuitive, proficient and skilled in her technical specialty. It says, when you're communicating with me, do take the time to be sure that I'm in agreement and understand what you're saying. Draw up a scheduled approach to implementing action with a step-by-step timetable. Assure me that there won't be any surprises. Prepare your case in advance. Provide solid, tangible, practical evidence. Sit on that. Give her time to verify the reliability of your comments and be accurate and realistic. Make an organized contribution to my efforts. Present specifics and do what you say you will do. Make an organized presentation of your position if you disagree with her. Give her time to ask questions. Support her principles, use a thoughtful approach, build your credibility by listing pros and cons to any suggestion you make. Support your communications with correct facts and data. Be sincere and use a tone of voice that shows sincerity. And says, this is what you don't do when you communicate with me. Don't push too hard or be unrealistic with deadlines. Don't say, trust me, you have proven. Don't rush the decision-making process. Don't talk in a loud voice or use confrontation. Don't give your presentation in a random order. It has to be in order. Don't make statements about the quality of my work unless you can prove it. Don't make conflicting statements. You know, I'm quick to jump off. Wait a minute now, but you just said. You remember? Don't be vague about what's expected of me, and don't fail to follow through. Don't talk to me when you're extremely angry. Don't be haphazard. Don't use gimmicks or clever, quick manipulations. Don't leave things to chance or luck. Don't use testimonies of unreliable sources.
They know you, man. I want to take the quiz.
What you think?
That's wild. They got you.
Where can you
say
the quiz at, Mom?
Something they did. What? They put like a whole thing.
You was that honest with them? I always purposely mark wrong stuff.
Oh, check this out. Self-perception. This is how others see me. I see myself as being precise, moderate, knowledgeable, thorough, diplomatic, and analytical. When I'm under moderate pressure, tension, stress, or fatigue, other people see me as being pessimistic, worrisome, picky,
yep.
And fussy.
Yep, yep.
And it says, under extreme pressure, stress or fatigue, others see me as being hard to please.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive, perfectionistic.
Yes.
And God. And strict.
Yes. Yes. Even the my the first one is very bad.
That's not even before you succeed.
The first one. The first one is always. Okay. This is how I'm described. These words describe me: conservative, calculating, cooperative, hesitant, low-key, unsure, undemanding, cautious, mild, agreeable, or modest.
I don't agree with none of that. What's
this?
Poised, polished, optimistic, trusting, and sociable. Resistant to change, non-demonstrative, passive, patient, possessive, predictable, consistent, deliberate, steady, and stable. Worrisome, careful, dependent, cautious, conventional, exacting, neat, systematic, diplomatic, accurate, tactful, open-minded, balanced, judgment. What you think?
Quit touching my me.
Okay, this is what it says. Naturally, I use a laid-back and peaceful approach to problem-solving. I solve problems in a reactive and team-oriented manner. I tend to be unobtrusive and avoid confrontation. Olivia, he keep moving the plate because you keep putting your hair in the plate. Be still. Okay, I seek a cautious approach to solving problems. I want to solve them within the frame. It says, seldom will I force my opinion because I prefer compromise as opposed to a win-lose situation. Okay, it says, I am enthusiastic about my ability to influence others. I prefer an environment in which I have the opportunity to deal with different types of individuals. I'm trusting and wants to be trusted. I don't know about that. I'm not trusting. Not that much. But
yeah,
I don't want to deal with different people. Oh, this sound like me. I feel that convincing people can only be done within the framework of logical facts presented by a totally objective person. I rarely display emotion.
Yes. You are unemotional. You're like, you're an alien. Like that. This is the type of alien she is.
Okay, I don't want to be in an environment where there's a lot of stuff going on at one time.
No.
I feel secure in an environment where moving from one activity to another quickly is held to a minimum. I agree with that. Sound like a whole bunch of shit going on. I'm concerned with doing things right. I can be quite worrisome and possibly fearful that mistakes will crop into the procedure. I will follow rules and procedures to the letter and feel comfortable in situations to where exact standards and written procedures are the rule of the day.
Yeah.
What's your name about that? I follow
rules. Well, I remember the first time we went to the field of rights.
Story time, man. Story time.
Oh, check this out. I'm disciplined, meticulous, and pay a meticulous attention to order. I take a careful, thoughtful approach to decision making. Caution, calculation. I like to calculate risk before I take action. I'm attentive and dependable with detailed work activities. I like to accomplish tasks without too many people being involved. I maintain a clean and organized environment.
Yep. I got you,
Bolt. Okay, this is what it says I want. Reassurance that I'm doing the job right.
Mm-hmm.
Operated procedures in writing. We recognize for quality work. Limited socializing. I don't like food, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I mean. Time to adjust to change. An environment where I don't have to show emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I want facts and data so I can make decisions.
Yes.
I want an environment where I can ask specific questions and not beat around the bush. I want limited exposure to new procedures, better planning, and fewer changes in the organization. He said, tell my manager what I need. Okay, this is where I can improve. I have difficulty making decisions because I'm concerned about making the right decision. I tend to wait for directions instead of making a decision, and that makes, I know I do that. I don't project self-confidence. I prefer not to verbalize my feelings unless in a cooperative or not. I don't have a problem with my feelings.
Yeah.
I fail to tell others where I stand on the issue.
Yeah.
I've done that before. I get bogged down in details.
Mm-hmm.
I want a full explanation to ensure I understand.
Yes.
I want to be around. I want to be around people like myself.
No, we get in trouble. You be like, now tell me why you do all. You be asking me questions. We get in trouble.
Like,
mom,
God, where you go with the flow? What's the lie? What it is at the moment. What it is.
And they got
muscle, right? 19, 20 pages. What you think? And all they did was ask me questions. They gave me a list of words. It was like, pick the words without thinking. Pick the words that you gravitate to. Or what words do you like? And then, like, had on the spur of the moment. Or, you know, on the spur of the moment. See what I'm saying?
I want you to do something.
What?
I'm sure you had to not be able to be figured out.
Why you
can't
be figured out,
man?
I
want
to be figured out.
What's
so
that?
I can't figure my own stuff out.
Why is that so you can't be figured out?
Would you say 20 words would be enough to do?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Y'all write down 20 words. Write down 10 words a piece.
No. I guess,
because, you know, like, whenever, like, people are committing a crime, they'll bring in an FBI profiler. An FBI profiler would be like, a person that you're looking for lives at home with his mother. He's not a social person, and he's probably she ain't sitting on Sherry
there. I have a picture.
And he's probably, you know, they do all the stuff, and when they find the person, they're like, right, I'm a person at the time. So Jamala's like, don't let people know.
How
would
they know
this?
Am I the only
one
told?
I don't know how they do that.
They some bad folks.
I mean, like, they're going
to
have to
point where... That's what they have to be based off of, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got you a couple of things, of course, come over.
You're so sexy.
Yeah.
Well,
let me tell me what you thought about my veggies.
I have three pieces of that
veggie
to a month.
My mom
had
two.
And
I'm still hungry.
I
want
to
get a little, but
daddy
gotta have
something
for lunch. I'm still hungry.
That was quite a show.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna write down y'all 10 words?
Tomorrow.
Cool. So, write down 10 words.
All right, I think of Babaloon, Box, Fat, Big Head, Big in Head, Chicken, Butt, Flower, Fan, Light, Chocolate, Sit, Box, Chat, Fat, Net, Crack, Bet, Chat, Set, Click.
Shut up.
I'm making up 10 words.
Well, Libby made up her 10 words. Click,
so.
Fat, click. I mean, click, fat, tick.
Net.
Okay.
Mama, I want cold. Can I get my blanket?
Jamala, do you think do I project self-confidence?
No.
Sometimes you do more than what you do. But for the most part, no. Just depending on what situation
you do. He said for the most part, no.
When you get around certain people, you can tell you ain't comfortable.
Like who?
Most of the men.
Like grandma.
So you think I'm not confident around other women?
No, I said not confident.
Huh?
I said not confident.
I said confident.
Oh, I don't know about confident. I just said, you know,
well,
I can just say, you know,
I'm
not
being
around a lot of women. Can you quit that, please? I don't like being around a lot of dudes. But, you know, I try not to show them. All right, this is what we're doing. I tell you what, no, we're going to do it like this. You write down 20 words.
Oh, my goodness.
For me.
Is it any words?
Mm-hmm.
Like
something like what they gave you.
How many words?
20. I will pick studious, dependable, and dangerous. Third row, talented, gifted, and angry. Those are the words I would normally choose. But if I were doing a test or anything, I would mark liberal for the moment on the first row. Irresponsible and kind the second row. That was probably more amazing.
anything that's the furthest away from me, you know what I'm saying? Or something that, you know, doesn't describe me, period. You know what I'm saying? Just so you won't be figured out. But then again, they probably have some people who already figured that some people that do that, you know, mark whatever opposite of them. So that's why I put, you know, normally, truthfully speaking, I would put discipline. That's why I put liberal.
Are you irresponsible?
Yeah. Normally I would pick studious. You know what I'm saying? That's why I put, instead I put irresponsible.
What's,
you know what I'm saying? Then you study it out.
Okay, what's in the spur of the moment?
Spur of the moment, I mean, you just do whatever. Go whichever way you need to go.
What do you mean, like, somebody's about building, he's about building?
Let's go to the movie, okay.
Ooh, like, one more time with mama.
I do that.
When you saw that Red Lobster commercial, we went to Red Lobster.
Hold
on.
You would get out the laptop and be like, let's see what's playing at what time.
Hold on.
Just like when I told you to meet me, I said, meet me where we got those massages at. If you call now, if anybody else call me like meet me here and here, I'd be suspect. But if you call, be like meet me such and such a place, I'd just be like, okay, well, how to get there? But when I told you to meet me, okay, well, meet me such and such a place, you was very, very apprehensive about it.
Well, yeah, I got
massages,
Mom. For
what?
No.
Just
because. I said when?
Just when you are.
No, I'm saying that was just because, right?
Hmm.
The massages are crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I said when?
I don't remember.
Was it good? Was it nice?
It was cool. We won't what I thought it was going
to be.
Okay, what was that?
I thought it was going to provide a little more stress relief, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But I felt good after doing it.
Yeah. It wasn't hard enough for me, but it was an old lady.
Okay, Mom, I'm gonna ask you what these guys mean. What's liberal?
You gotta go look them up.
What's
spray on
this?
Is clap your hands for
him.
Whoa. Yeah, I have to power through. Clap your hands for him.
No,
mm-hmm.
I'm sleep, so.
Mm.
Mom.
I'm sleepy, babe. Can you bring that on?
Come on, Mom.
Oh, I'm crying. I'm tired. It's like I'm awake.
You want to start right here, Mom?
Yeah.
What is this one? That was on mute. Maybe we're moving our little.
Thank you.
And so the day that I don't wear No, you better not say it like that. Mama, Mom, don't lie. You can't say it like you trying to do something like. Mom, tell the truth. No, you say we.